Alrighty, alrighty, everybody. So, guys, tonight is the beginning of the first month of Pisces, but also it's Terumah, as you can see. When I say first month of Pisces, by the Hebrew calendar, four times in 19 years, the month of Pisces is twice. It's twice. Why? Because basically the calendar works in such a way, and I cannot fully explain it. I don't think I'm the best in explaining it, how the calendar operate. But it's because there is a cycle of the sun and cycle of the moon. So those two cycles, we have to make sure that it catch up with the Gregorian calendar, with the Hebrew calendar. The Gregorian work only by the sun. So that's why you have February, you have a different month. So when it comes to the Hebrew calendar, When it comes to the Hebrew calendar, it's a bit different. For that reason, we need to close the circle between the moon and the sun. We have to add extra months. So that's what's happening. So this year, we have the first Adar, and we have also the second Adar. We are celebrating tonight the first Adar. Adar means the month of Pisces. And then in 30 days, we'll celebrate the other Adar. So we're going to speak a little bit about Adar, and we're also going to address the portion of Terumah. That's what we're going to do tonight with your permission. We're going to do a lot of good things together. There is important months coming in front of us, and it's up to you what you're going to do about it. And of course, the bottom line is the doing is not the thinking, and it's not the talking. The thinking help, the talking help, but the doing matter. You know, you can go to the bank to get your money, but if you're waiting outside, you're not going to get the money. You have to go inside and ask for your money. Does that make sense? All right. Let me start with the portion. The portion of Terumah, it's written, Ve'asu li mikdash ve'shachanti betocham. Make me a temple and I dwell within you, not within the temple. Now the question is, every commentary is asking, what is that you need to do for the dwelling to take a place? What is that you got to do? What is that action? How is that action look like for the dwelling of the divine God, the mighty one, whatever you want to call it, need to dwell within you. So one of the Mefarshim, one of the commentary called Kli Yakar, explain that there is a very important verse within that verse. It's written that to build a tabernacle, you have to raise money, you have to go ahead and do fundraising and collect donation. And it says, Lekol, mikol ish asher yidvenu libo, from every person that his heart will be generous. But the word idvenu can also relate to the word dave. Dave means depressed. And idvenu, say Kli Yakar, the commentary, idvenu can be explained also with people who have ego while they're giving what they're giving. And we need to explain that. So when Terumah explained, Lekol ish asher idvenu libo, dave. First, what is ish? What is a person? And the Zohar explained that the person is a person who's willing to share. Some people don't born with that muscle. That muscle need to be trained. The muscle of sharing need to be trained. You're not born with that. Yetzer lev Adam ra menehurav. It's written in Genesis that the evil inclination make us selfish, make us cheap, make us think about ourselves. I'm not just talking about money. It can be cheap about love. You know, you don't want to say too much, I love you. Why? Because you might run out of it. What is that? Who came up with that? Why, I love you. What do you lose? It's beautiful about the candle. Look at the candle. One candle gives 2,000 candles, and the candle stays the same. So what do we worry about so much? The same thing with money, same thing with your health, same thing with your time. Everything is about giving in the end of the day. I'm not talking about just money. Giving is the nature of this creation. You want to understand God? You want to understand creation? Think giving. If you don't think giving, you don't understand God. You understand maybe yourself. That's why everybody going there, you know, to try to understand who am I? What am I doing here? But once a person get out of that thought and say, how can I be a nadiv? How can I be more generous? Then things start to be clear. If you ever been in Israel and you have been with Deb and me, we always visit a very special place, which is not a Kabbalistic place. We are visit a place, it's called Anadiv Ayadua, the famous, generous person. And Anadiv Ayadua, we stop in the Rothschild family grave. Everybody asks, why you stop there? Why you stop there? And if you read about him and his wife, they didn't just give money, they created a job for other people. Amazing thing. They were looking, how can we create jobs so other people can earn their own money? The best giving you can do for someone is that they can earn money that they can actually have the ability to give as well. Going back to the first verse. Idvenu se kli yakar, say the commentary kli yakar. A lot of time when you give something, you become depressed. And when people give that kind of giving, that kind of giving is actually destroying the receiver and destroying the giver. You can give with evil eye. Give. Give. Be generous. You know, a lot of times you see people giving a glass of water. And there is, when I came to America, I discovered there is something called half a glass of water. I didn't know it was exist. There's half a glass of water. So when I asked the person who gave half a glass of water, why half a glass of water? They have an answer. Genius. Genius American mind. We don't have it in Israel. So they say, what if they don't finish it? The same with orange juice. The same with everything. You give. You shouldn't have the cheshbon. You shouldn't have the calculation. What is the person going to do with it? That's called daveh. Daveh means depression while you give. Give! You give, you give! What if it doesn't take all of it? It's not my business. I'm giving. If they don't want to receive all of it, not my business. Now, I see some of you are smiling. Are we smiling because we are the receiver point of view or the giver point of view? Right? What are we? When we are just now smiling, it's because we're thinking as a receiver, yes, I met many bad people like that. Or we're smiling because, I need to give more. That's the question. It's all about the point of view. How do you look at yourself? Are you generous? Are you, when people come to your domain, whatever, it's your home, your place, your office, you try to make them extra comfortable. You try to give more. Now come the second thing, as the Kli Yakar explained. The Kli Yakar explained, Kli Yakar again is a commentary, explained that there is people who give and they always want to give more than the person next to them. That's a different disease. I want to impress that I'm actually giving way more than the person next to me. Whatever Christianity, Judaism, Islam, you know, person go to the Torah, right? I bought $100 the Aliyah. Now the person next to him, especially in doing Yom Kippur, 300. 300? 500. 500? 1,000. Nobody even care about the blessing anymore. We just want to impress the crowd. The name of the parasha is Teruma. Teruma means contribution. Contribution has to be between. Don't be depressed when you give. And don't have ego when you give. You have to find out where you come from. If you have ego, that you want to show everybody how great you are, you miss the point. If you're such a cheap that you give half glass of orange juice, then don't give. Why you even give the half a glass of orange juice? Just say, I'm not in the mood to give anything. You give, you give. Let the person have. Let them have it. Why not? Don't give the leftover. Some people think the giving leftover is giving. No, giving leftover, there is garbage and there is people. So instead of garbage, I'm doing a lot of charity. I remember I gave a class like this about 15 years ago. In the end of the class, I have one family who end up with a bicycle, broken bicycle in my house. I said, what is that? Yeah, listen, your lecture touch our heart. I said, how much it touch you? I said, a lot. We decided to give the bicycle to you. I said, can I use it? I said, no, you got to fix it. It's a lot of issues. I said, I'm not sure I see the giving here. You know, giving is when the receiver actually receives something, not that I'm sitting with my children to start fixing it. Give, give. That's idvenu libo. Idvenu, that the heart is as to give. Remember, between ego and that. So, now, how is that connect to the month of Adar, Adar Aleph? How is that connect to our parasha to the month of Adar. So it say, when Adar is getting in, marbin besimcha, he's supposed to be happy as tonight came in. He's supposed to be happy. The question everybody asks, am I supposed to be happy because it's written, so I have to smile? Or the month is such a great month, so it's going to make me smile. I don't know what to do. I'm very confused. So should I smile or should I wait for the tickling so I smile? People don't know what to do with this month. What's happening? So this question, the question I want to ask you, do you even know? I want to ask you a simple question, but the most important question you're going to ask yourself for this month. Do you know what makes you happy? Do you know what makes you happy? The second question I want to ask you, do you know what makes you sad? Do you know what makes you happy? And do you know what makes you sad? If you do, and be honest with yourself, it's going to be one thing that makes you happy, one. And one thing that makes you miserable or sad. Now, I want you to do something very simple. I want you just simple, write it down or on your phone, on a piece of paper, or in your mind if you have great memories. Okay? You have to remember those two things for the month of Adar. What is make you happy? One thing that makes you absolutely happy, and one make you sad. And again, if you sit next to somebody you don't feel comfortable that they see it, do it, hide it, whatever it is you want. So write down what make you happy, one thing, and second, what make you sad or miserable. Okay? So please, I'm waiting. I'm going to give you a second. We're going to do some work tonight, so it's good. Remember, once you get this one clear, it will change your entire life, not just this month. It's the most important question that you need to ask. One thing that makes you happy, one thing that makes you sad. All right. You ready for the next thing? Okay. Now, after you are so clear about what makes you happy and what makes you sad, I want you, with your permission, to close your eyes so you don't have to be here in this room. Close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, I want you to, if you're capable of doing it, will be great, to go back in time to your inner child. Okay, everybody has a child from within. Try to imagine that your child, your little kid, which is you, is sitting exactly in the heart, exactly here. So you imagine that there. The reason I ask you to close your eyes, because then you don't have to be here. You can go travel with your mind. So see yourself as a kid, it can be 5 years old, whatever you remember. And I want you to confirm with your kid in you, in your heart, is that true? Is that what you make you happy? And is this what make you sad? Get to agreement with your inner child that that's the truth about you. Take your time until both sides agree. Another thing I want you to do with the inner child now, I want you to do another thing, please. And I want you, please, to motivate the inner kids inside of you about something good that will happen. Even if it's in the past, based on what you know now, motivate the inner child about great things that will happen, please. Good. Now, I would like you to talk to each other. What did you experience? You don't have to share information, but maybe in a group of 4 or 5, just talk to each other what you experienced. You don't have to share details. I'm sure it's your personal secret. But I want you to share with each other at least 5 people or at least 4 people, please. Share with each other what you experience, please. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. So anybody who can share conclusion? Conclusion. What did you get conclusion when you talk to each other? What kind of conclusion do you get from it? From talking to each other about? Beautiful, beautiful. Everybody heard, right? So from being more mature, we want the thing that kind of missing, But being more a kid is more the inner core, which I really like what you say. Anybody else wanted to share what conclusion that it brought into your mind from long time ago? From 5 years old, the same person. Very interesting. Very interesting. No problem. No problem. The point is, the reason I did this exercise with you, especially in the month of Adar, that the month that we supposed to be happy or the month make us happy, is to, we need to start to come to some conclusion about what is happiness exactly. When we look in a book called Bnei Sasrar, in one of the sections on Adar, he writes that the core of sadness, the whole idea of being sad, is coming from the body. And the whole core of happiness is coming from the soul. For that reason, we need to understand what is the body and what is the soul. Now, the body, as we know it, is the thing that eat, the thing that you take to the gym to look better. No? The thing that you look in the mirror, see if you got your six-pack or UPS or you didn't. You know, that's the body. The body. The soul, a little problematic. Don't see it. It's somewhere there. We've been told it's there. Don't see it. Can't shake somebody else's soul. Say hi. Love your soul. And their soul shake your... No, we don't even shake hands. Soul is mystical. We heard about it. We want to believe, or we believe because we don't have a proof. It's not the world kind of thing. If you're too religious, you say, oh, it's got to be there. If you're spiritual, I feel it. If you are not a believer, say, I don't even think it's there. We die and that's it. Everybody has an opinion. I'm not here to convince you to change your opinion. I'm just saying, open-minded, keep open-minded. I trust Bnei Sasrar very much, that Kabbalist. So let's try to understand it from his point of view. The body, according to Kabbalah, the body is a selfish being. Everything about the body is 100% pure selfish. The body has no sharing in it. The entire body, just to let you know, has not even 0.1% to give. The body thinks one thing, how can I take? In fact, when you read more the deeper side of Kabbalah, Zohar, or the Ari, that say that if the laws of the universe will not be, meaning the police, the judge, who knows if people will not kill each other just to survive? And if you have a question on that, you should just go to the Talmud and study what happened in Jerusalem when Jerusalem was captured. People get into a place where they start eating each other. That's how far it is. So I know that we seem like intelligent human beings, and we only cut the steak with fork and knife. Very nice people. We drink a glass of wine. We don't see the cow that is behind that wall just get slaughtered. We are intelligent. We are intellectual. We're above that. But the body is selfish. Can't hide it. I know many people try to hide it with nice clothes, better look, good makeup. Body is selfish. The soul is a core that came from the Creator. It's called Tselem. Tselem being image, the image of God. That Tselem, that image of God, is live within you. When you act selfishly, the body benefit. The bad news, depression. When you act sharing with no agenda, then the soul benefit, and the result is one thing. Either clarity or happiness. Many people think if they give more charity, they're going to have more money. That's body consciousness. When you give more money, you're supposed to be more happy. When you give more love, you're supposed to be more happy or more clarity. Stop making deal with the universe and with God. Stop with that. That's a body giving. That's not a soul giving. You're in a restaurant, 20 people eating. You offer to pay for all of it. Oh, what a problem. You are such a sharing person. Or you're an egomaniac. Depends where you come from. Depends where you come from. Not every giving is a soul giving. You have to remember that. Not every giving is a soul giving. The Zohar writes that a lot of the giving coming from an angel, I cannot say his name, it's coming from the angel called Sam or S-M-A-H-L. It's an angel, you shouldn't say the name. And that angel is in charge. He's in charge of making people do good things for the wrong reason. And after that, that angel bring his wife, start with L, to force the person to commit the worst crime. So before a person commits the worst crime, he's actually doing a good thing for the wrong reason. Happiness, until you're not doing a true giving, happiness cannot be part of your life. And remember, once the giving is with agenda, to show off, or to control people, that's not yet a giving. Giving has to be pure, has to be beautifully pure. You know, we were in Miami, and we're supposed to stay there 1 week. And we did minyan in a beautiful penthouse, and many people came, you know, and it was Hasidish, you know, with the black hat, if you ever saw, you know, with the mink, or whatever you want to call it, Sephardic, Ashkenazi, the Chabad, you know, all type of people who pray different style, and ask them all to join and be together. So, of course, come, what style, what's this? So we're going to do the first Aliyah, first part of the Torah, we're going to do this style. Second, we'll do this style. And we did the whole style together. And in the end, you know, people get together and start talking to each other. One of them, a wonderful, wonderful man, and may God give him a blessing in every area of his life, has a giving energy into him. No agenda. If you see the side, me and him are not a match or not two people who will talk in any language, never. But when you look at the eyes of people, you can see their soul. They said that the eyes of a human being is the window to their soul. You can tell. And I look at his eyes, very unique person. And he doesn't dress like me. I dress white on Shabbat. He has the old, you know, whatever you call the thing, the big hat, the fair hat, you know, with the payas and, you know, the old shtreibel, I don't know the name for, you know. And me come to him, said, look at your eyes. You're very special. Check it out. And he's like, who is this guy? And people look from the side. What they even talking to each other? Say, no, there's something. May you stay for dinner? So, no, I said, please, I'm begging you, something. We become friends. In the end of Shabbat, we become good friends. He just called me before the lecture. A generous man with no agenda at all. No agenda. Begging me to bless on a certain cup. You know, he made it from silver, handmade, something rare to find. And when I saw that person, I told my kids and I told my wife, you know, it's very rare to find people who give truly with no agenda. And we have to get into a place where our giving has to be truly with no agenda, but not because the goal is no agenda, because it's actually for you. Happiness, you want to become more happy, start giving. Now, giving is not just money, my friend. Giving is time too. Giving is good words too. Good words too. And I'll tell you a story. It was a person by the name of Michael, 21 years ago. In his place was a guy who came to him and said to him, I need money. Don't have money. I need a job. Please give me a job. He said, no, I don't need. Please give me a job. He keep begging him. After 3 months, he accept him for the job. He give him the job. And he rather give him a check, but he give him a job. But he worked for him. Every morning when he worked for him, he step into the boss office with a coffee and he sit in the chair with the boss, first day of his work, and drink coffee with him. Now the guy is in the middle. He just started his spiritual journey with me. Doesn't know what to do. He has a little anger issue like all of us, a little bit. So he called me, he said to me, you have to come urgent, I'm losing it. So what's going on? So this guy gave him a job, and he bothered me. And I asked my master at that time, And my master told him this answer. You have to look at that person like he's a kupat tzedakah. He's like a box of charity. And you just put the charity with him all the time. He's never going to be a good worker. He's never going to be good for the factory. He's never going to be good for the office. He's never going to be good for anything. But he's your charity box. And he's there to help you practice giving. He's only there to help you practice true giving. How many people in your life are bothering you? How many people in your life you can't stand? How many people do you have? Now, can you act with those people in a way that you give charity? And I'm not talking about money. It's love. It's good words. It's patient. You don't want to be patient with somebody who just bothers you. I don't want to have patience for that. Let me write you a check and leave me alone. Here's a check. Go. No. You actually need to see it. How are you? How is life? How is everything? You doing okay? Let me talk to you for a second. We don't want to do that. Because those are the things that help you eventually to become happy. Not because it's logic. It's the opposite. It's not logic. It's not logic at all. It's supposed to make you depressed. Because who want to do that? But what makes us right? Happiness comes from the soul. The soul acts with giving. Unfortunately, we are normally looking for great opportunity, for easy opportunity. But within the easy and great opportunity, there is nothing there. This is only agenda. People who clap their hand and respect you, that's not going to bring you happiness. So if you feel you're lacking happiness, that's the way to go. Now, I want to take you now to another level. You can take a picture of it if you need for your phone. According to Abraham explained that every month is controlled by a certain Hebrew letters. The Hebrew letter has a vibration and a shape. Okay? Remember, vibration and a shape. Now, the letter Kuf, which is on the right, created Pisces, with the letter Gimel on the left, created Jupiter, or in Hebrew, Tzedek. Those letters, according to Avraham Avinu in the book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, those letters are basically create all of it. Now, it doesn't make sense for us because we are thinking like Tzedek, Jupiter, you know how big it is? This little thing, create Jupiter. Think about it like DNA, and the sound Gimel, that's a vibration, Gimel, that create Jupiter. I cannot go into details how, where. You should read the book, great book. Kuf create the entire month of Pisces. Now, Kuf is a unique letter. If you look at the letter Kuf, there is a line that go lower. The Kabbalists explain that when the letter go lower, it's go to the dark side, to the negative side. Why do I need in a month of happiness to go to the dark side? The opposite. I want to go to the good side. And the Kabbalists explain that once you go to the dark side, why do we meet wrong people? Why do we need to meet wrong people in my life? Wrong marriage, wrong partnership, wrong address, everything wrong. Why there is chaos? Why do I need the wrong thing? What is the wrong thing? Maybe I should ask you that. What do you think wrong things are good for?
Appreciating the right thing.
What? Appreciating the right thing. I like it. That's short to the point. Very simple. Now I appreciate what I had, right? Yes, I like it. That's like boom. That's it. Yes, say somebody else. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's fair. Yes. Okay. How not to do what anymore?
When you meet the wrong people, you learn not to meet that kind of people anymore.
Not to meet the wrong people anymore. So why in the first place you met them? Why in the first place you met them? Let's say I have a gentleman, God bless him, that he believes is a great guy. Great guy. So I'm not speaking bad about him. He makes me laugh every time. He believes that every year he meets his soulmate. Every year. So every year when he tells me I met my soulmate, then I know it. I know it with him. Great guy, great guy. Well, God bless him. And every time he tell me that, I said, what happened? And then he will speak bad about the last soulmate, and he will speak great about the next one.
Yeah.
But the way he speak about the soulmate he just met, I said, Eliyahu, he wouldn't believe, and he doesn't hear himself. See, you told me the same thing about the last one. No. This one. This one is a special edition, he called it. This is it. So what about the last one? Oh, last one. If I only saw what's wrong, then I would never go with her. And then the next year again, 10 years, 10 soulmates. So the question is for you, what's within the wrong thing that is good for you? And I'll tell you. Yes, please. I cannot hear you. Say that.
It shows you something in your own life that's similar in some sense that, you know, could technically be the same path.
It's very nice. But Baal Shem Tov talk about it. That it help you to see within you something that you might need to change. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Baal Shem Tov talk about it. Yes?
Maybe it's not wrong. It's wrong for him. He sees it as wrong.
He sees it wrong. His point of view is wrong, but maybe not wrong. Maybe. The big picture. And the idea, I want to relate to what you say. Very, very nice. The idea here that the kuf is going to the klipot, is going to the dark side, going to the negativity, because the only place when you discover who you are is when you go into negativity. You can't know who you are until you go into negativity. So what do we call the discovery? What the name of that discovery? It's called self-discovery. Is one of the most important things that happened to a human being. The biggest gift that can happen to a person in their life is a self-discovery. Who am I? Everybody want to know, who am I? You want to know who you are? Go to chaos. Go to a problem. You will find out who you are. You want to know who you are? When problem will hit you, you will know who you are. People don't know who they are when everything is go perfect. When you have all the money in the world, you don't know what money means. You don't know what work means. When you have all the beauty, some people born perfect. They jump from the magazine and they become alive. Here I am. They would never know earning that part of relationship. No, you need to understand. It's not. I make it sound funny, but it's a very serious. When your business is not working, you just discover self-discovery of yourself, of who you are when things are not working. When I coach people, I'm never worried about the one who's going through a problem. I always worry about the one who's not going to no problem. I'm never worried about people who go through a problem. Because the one who goes through a problem, I will coach them, I will help them to a self-discovery. And then the kuf, who going to the klipot in this month, is giving you gimel. You know what gimel stands for in Kabbalah? Gomel dalim. Gomel dalim meaning bringing benefit to the dal, to the poor, to the one who don't have. We need to understand who is the dal, who is the poor? Us. When you go to the worst time of your life, the benefit of it is you. You have to be so happy for that moment. But unfortunately, we're not. Everybody going to, how can I my life become perfect? Perfect means that the life is perfect, but you are not. Non-perfect life means your life is not perfect, but you are becoming more perfect. And that's what's unique about this month, what it's going to do to you. This month, if you look at the history, people say, happy month. No. If you look at the history of this month, disaster. Disaster month. If you are Pisces, I don't know if you have Pisces tonight. Any Pisces? No. No Pisces. Anybody married to Pisces? Pisces. When you're married to Pisces, difficult. Difficult. They're moody. You have two fish. Which direction do you go? What's your opinion? Very difficult. Very difficult. My favorite people like to be with is Pisces. But my wife say, please don't get disappointed. Because I go after them like that. I love Pisces people. But then, because I'm Scorpio, so I have control issue, so I think I got it right, and then I didn't. Because they are here today, tomorrow they're not, you know? I'm like committed. Oh, please, one soul. Because nothing is better to have a friend who spices. Nothing. The best. But doesn't mean the fish, you know, above water, swim, disappear. Fish. Bloop, bloop, you know. So fish. The gimel is gomel dalim. Benefit all the area of your life where it's missing. Do you want love? You have to experience disappointment of love. Do you want money? You have to experience a terrible disappointment of losing money. Do you want health? Chas v'shalom, I don't want to wish it to you, but you have to experience some health issue. All of what the kuf going down, for that reason, means shenichnas adar, marbin besimcha. What is this marbin? What does it mean? I'm supposed to be more happy. It doesn't seem more happy. Kuf, the letter kuf going to the klipot. You will be more happy once you went through the storm and make it. But if you didn't go to any storm and you have everything perfect in your life, I will tell you the bad news. You're never going to be happy. Think that you didn't earn will make your life miserable. Think that you earned through pain will make you happy. That's, you want simcha, you want happiness, you want to be amazed about this life, you got to do something. You gotta give. How do you give? What is giving, true giving mean? I have something, I'm giving it away, and now I don't have it. I miss it, but I gave it away. Now, time to work on yourself again. True sharing is not giving things you don't want. True sharing is giving the only thing that you want. What do? With people we love? Control them. We only control people we love. If it's kids, wife, husband, I never want to lose them. So I hold them by the neck, or I give them all kind of gifts that they stay next to me. You know, with the birds, when you do the crumbs, so the birds stay there. The one gift you don't want to give people you love is freedom. And the one thing you should give people you love is freedom. For that reason, there is Gimel and Kuf, and we need to understand that until you don't meet people who what we call lower than you, I'm not talking about lower income, what you judge as to be lower than you, until you don't engage and share with people who are way below your what you call your line, you can't get to discover yourself. You can't. You can't understand who you are. Because if you want to be just with the right people, or the one you can study from, that's receiving. The one who can give you, that's receiving. All of that is receiving. Now, the sequence for this month, without going into all the details, every month there is different combination of those four letters. Those four letters built together, the name of God, the Tachagamatan. As you can see, the two letters on the right are similar. They're not similar, they are the same. What does that mean? That in this month, every potential thing that you want to make can happen like that. Easy. But it's required to go lower to where you don't want to go. Go to that storm, fix it, and then you're going to go higher. If you're not going low, don't expect to go high. If you're not into sharing and giving, don't expect change. If you're cheap, this month is terrible for you. Stay away. Stay home. Don't get out of the house. All the cheap people, don't get out of the house. To be a nightmare for you. Remember, I'm telling you, month of Pisces is not a month for cheap people. And how do you know if you're cheap? I give you a syndrome of cheap people. You sit in a restaurant, and the bill arrives, and you go into the bathroom. You're cheap. It's not, you're cheap. Your subconscious makes your stomach ache. Oh. Cheap. Very simple. Very simple. Very simple. I'm telling you. Or in New York, they have a word for it. I forgot the name for that movement. You know, when they bring the check, and you're kind of waiting. who's going to pick it up? I don't know the name for it. In New York, they give it a name.
Alligator so, arms.
You know, don't look at the check. Just take the check. This is the month. For that reason, in this month, the Kabbalists teach that in this month, when people start asking you for charity, give. Even a $1, even $2. Don't think. Don't judge them. In fact, they say that in the time of Purim, that will not happen this month, happening next month, the celebration of Purim, and that's why my kids always see me in my pocket. I make sure I have cash, because I'm worried if I meet person and I'm not giving, worry for me, because that's opportunity to give. So I always give to my kids cash in the pocket, because if you see somebody, you gotta give. Don't think twice. Don't judge them. If they're too fat, why do I need to give them money? They have food in the stomach, right? It's not your business. Give. Don't think. Give. Give. Remember, this month is the test of all the giving. Don't fool yourself. Now, the angel, every month have an angel that control that month. This angel, the reason I didn't put the translation into English, because I rather you don't say this name. If you read Hebrew, you can say it in your mind. And this is the angel that control the entire month of Adar. So when you get stuck in a certain situation that you only selfishly think about yourself, immediately ask the angel to help you. I want to have more sharing. Now, important for me to share with you another thing, that there is one aspect where the body disturbing the soul to develop itself. One aspect. Everybody know what it is. It can be addiction. It can be bad habit. It can be something. Some people is anger. Some people is jealousy. You have to find out this one thing this month that is blocking you from growing. And you have to work only on that. So let's say if your addiction is food, work on not just eating less. Work on understanding that body, talk to the body. Body, you, please, I'm begging you. Just this month, I need to overcome that problem, that addiction. Please, I'm begging you. Please. Talk to your body like it's another person, and talk to the divine, to God, when you pray, and say, God, I need more power to my soul to overcome what I need to overcome. Because this month has so much benefit. And the benefit is for the whole year. For the whole year. It's not just for this month. Why? Because this month and next month, because it's two Adar, has the power, it's called the end of the year, of the Hebrew year. And for that reason, whatever been done in this month, it stay with you to the whole year. So much power. Now, the idea is like that. We need to get into the meaning of the word Adar. And the word Adar comes from the word of Idra. Idra means the gathering. Idra Rabbah, the great assembly, the great gathering. So another aspect of this month, you have to find a way to be with people. Gather people. Gather. How can I gather people? Gather people. Be together with people. Those of you who have issue of hospitality, and some people do. Some people do. Hospitality means that you bring people to your house and you not cover the sofa with plastic. Okay? You're generous. Okay? You're generous. You don't put lock on a refrigerator. You don't hide the good scotch in the garage and keep the leftover mix of the leftover in one bottle. Issue of hospitality. In the month of Pisces specifically, Idra, Adar, gathering. Invite people to your home, please. Even if it's three people. Three. That's all what you need. Three people. Every week, three people to your home. Cookies, tea, something. Give. 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 Don't just let... Don't just let this month waiting for you to give, because this month can be very powerful. The people who are born in this month can be shark and can be small fish. They have two types. The shark are great business people. By the way, Pisces known to be the best business people, genius. But Pisces is also known to be changing. They change their mind of their marriage. They change their mind about business. Okay? They seem like they're not trustworthy. But it's not true they're not trustworthy. They just see what they want to see at that moment perfect. And then the next day it's different. Very, very different. And for that reason, a lot of them have issue with relationship. Have issue with commitment. Have issue with confrontation. When you confront the Pisces, they panic. They panic. They will panic. Because they don't know what to deal, how to deal with the truth. So when you tell them, are you with me all the way? They have to say yes, and that will be a lie. But you push them to say a lie. They cannot be forced to the truth. You have to let them share with you the truth. If you're married to a Pisces, please do not force them. Because they will have to lie to you because they see both sides. The fish swimming both directions. So they wouldn't know what to say. So they will say what you want to hear. If you are Pisces yourself, stay away from addiction. This is the month of addiction. This is also the month to work on addiction. Addiction doesn't have to be just cocaine, drugs, I don't know, sex, food. Addiction could be everything what the Zohar called Avodah Zarah, idol worshiping, that I'm looking at life that the external thing will make me happy. Every time you think external thing will make you happy, that's an addiction. No external thing can make you happy. The real thing can make you happy is only yourself. And that's what you need to remember. I want to take you now to an example of Zohar Terumah. And I want to read to you a section from Zohar Terumah, and hopefully you can read it at home again. So it's called Holding the Hand of a Wicked, of a Rasha, and how to act like that. And it's just amazing that this portion always falls in the month of Pisces. So let's read it. Please, Michelle, read it for everybody.
In the books of sorcery, the Asi...
Don't say this name, I'm sorry. The king of...
The king of the demon taught King Solomon, it is written that whoever wants to endeavor to remove from himself the impure spirit and to subdue the other spirit of the other side must buy in full payment the action in which he wishes to endeavor. And he should give whatever is requested of him, whether a little or a lot. The spirit of impurity is always ready freely and for nothing, and is saleable without payment, because he compels people upon whom he dwells and entices them to dwell with him. He tempts them to make their habitation with him in many ways.
So first we learn simple, there is many lessons here, but the simple lesson, whenever you want to do spiritual thing, it costs. Whenever you want to do something wrong, it's for free. You have to remember that rules. That rules. Okay? Because right now there is a lot of corruption in religion and in spiritual group. So much corruption. So it's very difficult. It's a test for us. And it's a test for the corruption too. It's both sides. Because when I meet now spiritual person say, well, I can cure your problem. Give me $1 million. Based on that, I have to give it. But based on the corruption all over the news, I'm not giving it. First, I don't have 1 million. Let's start with that. But I'm not want to give it. I feel a use and abuse. But the point here, the lesson, why we don't have people like that anymore? Why? Why we no longer have people that can redeem you from the problem just by giving them what they ask? Rabbi Isaac Luria writes like that. When Rabbi Isaac Luria used to buy something holy, spiritual thing, used to take his wallet, give it to the seller, and say to him, take whatever you think it's worth. It's crazy. And the guy took whatever money. That was 500 years ago. Things changed since then. But it doesn't mean that things change for the person who take. Things change for the person who give as well. The universe is where it's not where it needs to be. We all have some type of corruption inside. We all have some type of agenda. So things need to change. Let's continue the same section, please. 37.
The spirit of holiness is not this way, but only with full payment and great endeavor, and by purifying himself and purifying his habitation with the desire of his heart and soul. And even then, fortunate is he who merits that he will place his habitation with him. With all this, he must go into the straight path, neither turning right nor left. If he does not, he separates itself immediately and distances itself from him. And he will not again be able to merit it as he did originally.
Okay, I think it was clear. Let's move on.
In reference to this, it is written that they bring me an offering of every man, meaning one called man who has overcome his inclination. For whoever overcomes his inclination is called man, whose heart prompts him to questions. What does whose heart prompts him mean? He answers, rather than the Holy One, blessed be he, takes pleasure in him, as it is written, of you my heart has said, the strength of my heart, of a merry heart, and his heart was merry. They all refer to the Holy One, blessed be he, meaning the heart of the Holy One, blessed be he, that is, his goodwill. Here also, whose heart prompts him, is the heart of the Holy One, blessed be he. From him shall you take my offering, because there is where the Holy One, blessed be he, is found, for he dwells in him and in no other place.
So it's a huge explanation about giving here. And again, specifically for the month of Adar. As the Zohar explained here, how do you give? Why do you give? What do you think about what you give? They used to take offer for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle, to build the tabernacle. So everybody gives charity. But in the moment you give charity, to build something important, what are you thinking? As I say before, in the beginning, do you think you're better than everybody else? Or you think I shouldn't give that much? Giving is a very important thing. And you cannot say, I don't have. You have to get out of that words, I don't have. When you start thinking, I don't have, you will not have. And what you have worth nothing. There is a story that happened in New York. A great Kabbalist come to visit from Jerusalem. And they make like a dinner. And one of the rich people walk in. And it was payment, like for a table, for a chair. They raise money. And this gentleman, known to be rich, just walk in and eat and enjoy himself, take a seat without asking anybody. So the Kabbalists just point to him. He asked one of the helper. Wasn't even his helper. It was the lady who was in charge of the food. Moroccan lady was just in charge of the food. And she was happy the rabbi talked to her. I said to her, excuse me, where's this gentleman there? He's a very famous businessman. Okay. The Kabbalist asked her, can you please go to him? And all of a sudden, the whole student around the lady, they tried to push her away because how come you're talking to the Kabbalist? And he said, no, I want to talk to her. Do me a favor, ask this gentleman, did he pay to get in? And the students say, Rabbi, we cannot do that. It will be embarrassing for us. It will be embarrassing for him. It will be embarrassing for everybody. It's a terrible name for us. The Kabbalists say, do it. The lady went, asked him. He was very angry, very embarrassed. So he came, he said, who said you? Said that famous Kabbalist. So he came angry to him. He said, how dare you? Don't you know the laws? You're not supposed to embarrass people in public. Shame on you and shame on this. He said, grab a chair, sit next to me for a second. So why didn't you pay? What's you missing money? He said, no, I'm very rich. So why didn't you pay? So I don't think it worked. I don't think it. He said, your life will look exactly as much as what you think your life looked like. If you think you don't have enough, then you, even if when you have enough, you will never have a joy in what you have. When you think you have so much and you bless, you have so much money, then your life will be like you have so much money. The question is, what do we want our life to look like? Are we going to say, if you say once a year I don't have money, you've already been cursed. You're cursing yourself. Don't speak like this. Don't say I don't have love. Don't say I don't have money. Don't say I don't have health. Don't speak like that. I'm rich. What are you afraid of? What does it cost you to say, I'm so rich? I'm so successful. I'm unbelievably healthy. My love life, whoop! Talking about, but that's a different story. We don't talk like this. It's almost like somebody watching it and called the IRS, hey, just found somebody here, money. What's the problem? What's the problem? Did you eat? Ainara, we're using now a new thing. Cheshmebad, Ainara, evil eye. Everybody, I'm only doing it for evil eye. Really? Okay. So be quiet and write a bigger check if it's only for evil eye. No. Why are we so, with our, who talk to us like that? So how is this verse start? The king of the dark side, I don't want to say the name. There is a king. They have a king. The dark side, they have a king. Is forcing our brain. Is forcing our brain to talk like that. Don't talk like this. Don't say it. You know that if you have a cold, I found it only in America. People say, I'm sick. Did you know that? The first day of the cold, you get like sneeze. What happened? Sick! I'm sick! What? You're not sick, you sneeze. You go to Israel, I don't know if you've ever been in Israel. Somebody's sick for 1 day, 1.5 day. You okay? It's tananti. You know, he said, a little cold. No big deal, a little cold. Are you sick? No, not sick. Why there is something like this? I'm sick. Stop talking like that. It's not a joke. Stop. I'm poor. I'm lonely. Once you speak it, the Zohar say there is angel sitting there. Say amen. That's what's going to happen to you. One of the rabbanim by the name of Rabbi Nachman Mebreslev. It's a book in English. You should get it. It's called Empty Chair. In the book Empty Chair, Rabbi Nachman Mebreslev writes like this. When a person say, my life is great, God with the angel say, you think your life is great? Let me show you how great your life will be. When a person say, my life is terrible, the angel and God say, this is terrible? Let me show you how terrible look like. You want happiness in this month? Then start by saying how great your life is. You are rich people. You are rich. There is no, the level of being poor. I don't know how many of you came from bottom and make a little bit more money. There is bottom. You are not, none of you here is in the bottom, even if you think you are, you know. Not in your health, not in your love life, and not in the money. But we want to think this way because we think we're getting energy like that. Do you want to get energy by being miserable? That's what's going to happen. Or do you want to get energy because you're successful? Ask yourself that question tonight. It's a month of Adar. What do you want to get compliment for? For being it or for being miserable? It's an attitude change. It's not about reality change. It's an attitude. It's here. Where am I? I'm rich. I'm successful. Talk like this. Walk like that. It will come to you. But once you talk to yourself, let me tell you, try to work. Nothing works. Now, what are you looking for? Mercy of other people. Kindness. A bigger check. Attention. But who are you going to draw to yourself? I love those people who go on a date and they're so miserable and lonely and they have expectation to meet somebody perfect. You are miserable and lonely. What do you think you're going to attract? Miserable and lonely. Miserable and lonely. Miserable and lonely. Then you're going to get married. And the combination will be, you know what's going to be there. What do you expect? But if you come happy, I'm happy. You can also attract happy. What do you think you're going to attract? It's written in the Zohar. It's written everywhere. Stop with that. Stop with that mindset. I don't know who injected it, who wrote that book that was must be negative. Or there is a book that say spiritual people must be poor. It's not written in any book. Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob, Moses was rich. Dead money. Rabbi Isaac Luria was rich. Where is the concept that being rich, it's not spiritual. You're allowed to have your own house from gold and still be spiritual. It's okay. But of course, you have to share. The test of sharing will come. How you share will come. It's very important. I want to make sure it's important. Let's finish just this part, please.
How do we know that the Holy One, blessed be He, wants Him and places His dwelling place in Him? It is when we see the desire of the person is to endeavor to pursue the Holy One, blessed be He, with his heart and soul and desire. We are certain that the Shekhinah dwells there. Then we should pay in full to befriend him and to learn from him. About this, the ancient said, and acquire for yourself a friend. You must buy him for a full price in order to merit the Shekhinah that dwells in him. This is how far it is necessary to pursue a righteous man and purchase him.
So what does that mean, to purchase a righteous man or a spiritual man? What does that mean that you have now money and you can purchase a spiritual man? When I was young, I born to a father who suffered a lot, who became a non-believer, and to a mother who born into ultra-Orthodox, whatever you want to call it, Jewish family. Weird combination to live in. Very tough. So my father teach me that you should not give to any spiritual person who has charity, and you should not be nice because it's all about survival. My father grew up as an orphan in Sicily. Not easy. My mother said, even if the person is a thief and he knock on your door, even if you know he's a thief, just because he knock on your door, you give. Very different education. Weird education, right? You're going like, And the truth of the matter is, until I found more spirituality, my father makes sense to me. The way he teach me was business. So you have $100 in your pocket, you give $100, you have zero money in your pocket. Makes sense. That's my father's lesson. My mom said, you give 100, God will give you a blessing of 1,000. But that's kind of out there. The idea, my friend, spirituality, to be spiritual, to be a giver, it's not easy thing because it's not going to make sense to you in the beginning. So when you are getting into a point to give to the right person, it's a blessing. You have to be blessed. My mom used to take me to a righteous man, and I didn't know he was righteous then. I was very sick as a kid, and he used to bless me every time, and my mom give him money and give him food and give him different thing. And my father used to get angry every time, more money and more thing and more, every time, more and more. And the idea is to be like that. It's very special. When my mom will see a person who's special or righteous, she'll make sure she cooked for him, and she'll beg him to eat for what she cooked. Beg him. Please eat at least a little cookie for what I make. So she wouldn't see that she's giving. She would see that the righteous man giving her by him receiving. That's the original giving that the Zohar is talking about. You want to be in the month of Adar happy, you have to look at your giving not like you're helping someone. You have to look at the receiver actually helping you. And if you're not there, you can be there. But don't look at it like, there is no way I can be there. You have to practice. You have to practice that everything that you do is for the sake of sharing, but the receiver is the one who is actually giving you. Every Friday, those of you who want to join us, we give sandwiches to the poor. You can come and help. Spread the peanut butter, spread the jelly. Go around. It's the best thing, because you see the poor person in the street, here's a sandwich. Here's for you. Here's for you. Go on, come and do it. So simple. Friday morning, go and share. Thursday night, we are meeting here at 8, and we're spreading some sandwiches. Very simple giving. Start from that. But don't ever think that you're helping the poor. Ever think in your mind that you're helping the poor. The poor just save you. If you think for a second you save them, you miss the whole point. They just save you. For that reason, it says, Tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Charity save you from death. Most people think that the charity save you from death means I'm saving the poor from death. No, the poor is actually saving you. I will end up with a story. Many years ago, I was in South America, and I met a gentleman, very poor, like poor need to look like. And I tell him if I could give him money and sandwiches and food. He said, no, I don't need your help. Goodbye. He started walking away. I thought it's a chutzpah. I thought it's a little bit crazy. So I said, oh, no big deal. Then I remember my mom. I said, come on, Eliyahu. Maybe push him a little bit better. Maybe he was shy. I go after him. I said, do me a favor. Just take it. He said, no, I don't need it. Don't you get it? I don't need your money. I don't need your food. The guy looked poor from the street. And I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Then I said, you know what? Maybe this is an angel. I go back to him. And I said to him, I bring him 2 loaf of challah. It was Friday morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning, if you understand. And I said, do me a favor, can you bless those 2 challah for me doing Shabbat? All of a sudden, his face would light, smile. So of course, for you, I will do it. Give me that. And he received that. We're getting into the car. We have little Volkswagen Beetle, if you know what it is. Okay, two-door, 1972. So we close the door, and my friend next to me, Abe, says, Abe, maybe it's an angel. So stop. So Abe looking back, so where is he? He said, I don't know. We start running in the street to look for him. Nobody's there. Gone. Gone with the wind. 3 days after that, I'm in Argentina, 1992. The explosion of the bomb in the embassy in Argentina, if you remember. I was there 5 minutes before the explosion. 5 minutes. Who saved who? He saved my life. That's why always in Adar, before Purim, I always, when Adar come, I remember this was the massive miracle for me. But he didn't need my bread. He didn't need my money. I need his safety. I need his prey. When you give, give. But when you give, start thinking that you're not helping them. They're actually helping you. Thank you. Have a great month and all the best. Thank you.